If coffee makes you nervous, switch to Postum. The makers of Postum, the favorite mealtime drink in millions of American homes, present those two lovable old characters from the hill country, Lum and Abner. Every so often, it's a mighty good idea to check and triple-check yourself. First, to see that you aren't forever talking to the children like this.
Quiet, children. If you can't play quietly, you can't play at all. I just can't and won't stand that noise.
Second, to see that you aren't always nagging grown-ups like this.
John, stop reading that paper and listen. You might pay some attention to me.
And third, to see that you don't feel sorry for yourself like this.
Oh, why do I have to be so upset and nervous all the time?
Yes, you really should check on yourself to see whether you have a tendency to behave in any one or all three of those ways. Because taken singly or together, little things like that may mean you've become what doctors call a nervous irritable. And maybe coffee nerves is to blame. But while many people can drink coffee without getting touchy and nervous, many others cannot. So if you think you have coffee nerves, switch to Postum. For Postum contains no caffeine or stimulant of any kind that could possibly set your nerves on edge. Postum has a delicious, mellow flavor that will really appeal to you. So if coffee makes you nervous and irritable, drink Postum instead. And in a couple of weeks, see if you aren't much happier and much less nervous. Get Postum from your grocer. There's a reason. And now let's see what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, friends, you remember that early this week, the county seat newspaper carried an item stating that a widow in Texas would like to correspond with some kindly middle-aged man capable of handling a large estate with the object of matrimony. Well, Lum has sent off a letter and his picture in reply and is now up in the clouds at the prospects of marrying into great wealth. As we look in on the little community today, we find Lum over at the Jot 'em Down store talking with Abner. Listen.
I don't care what you do, Abner. Furnish the tourist camp any way you want to, but just leave me alone.
Well, I've got all this second-hand furniture that I took in on them debts stacked back there in the feed room.
Well, take it on over there and put it in the cabin then.
Well, you said you never liked it.
Well, some of it's all right. Can't put that dining room set in there. Wouldn't be no room for a bed.
No.
You've got enough to fix up there three or four of them cars real nice. That folding bed will work all right.
Yeah, well, I don't know nothing about furnishing a tourist cabin, Lum.
Well, get Elizabeth to help you, or somebody. I've got enough to do without worrying over a little old tourist camp. Got to study these market reports.
Market reports?
Yeah, see whether stocks is going up or down or sideways or what they're doing. I've got to keep up with all that stuff now.
I still don't know what you're talking about.
The stock market, Abner. So's I'll know how to invest all that money.
Oh, what money?
This estate that Florence's husband left her. Bless her heart.
Oh, her.
What do you mean, oh, her?
Well, you ain't even met the money, the woman yet, Lum. Here you are trying to invest the money, and you don't even know whether she'll marry you or not.
Don't hurt to read up on these things. She said in the advertisement that she wanted somebody that knowed how to handle a big estate.
Well, what are you going to do? Just let the store here and tourist camp go now?
No, but I've just got so much to do now, you're just going to have to look after them things yourself.
Well, now, if you think I'm going to do all the work around here while you sit around and wait till you hear from that letter that you wrote that widow, why, you're crazy. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, I'll leave a down man on you when me and her gets married. Pay you for all your trouble.
Leave a what on me?
A down man.
Well, I don't know where I want that left on me or not. What is it?
Why, it's, you don't know what a down man is?
No, I don't believe I do.
It's a down man, so you sure you don't know?
No, I never heard of it before, even.
Well, if you're sure you never, I think I can tell you. Down man, Granny, you're hard to explain things to. You've heard of, it's something that rich people leave to people when they die. Money, I think. Like enough money to send somebody through school on, or...
Well, now, I don't want it. I wouldn't go back to school for nobody. I'd look fine sitting down there in a primer with all them young'uns.
Well, you don't have to go through school. I'll leave your money to do whatever you want to do with it.
Well, you better wait till you get it first.
Maybe I can get Florence to put up some money to buy some nice furniture for that tourist camp.
Yeah, well, we can't wait for her and you to get married, Lum, to fix up a tourist camp.
Well, quick as I hear from her and she accepts me, I'm catching the next train for Nashville, Tennessee.
Where are you going to get the money to make the trip on?
Well, with Saturday's business, we'll have enough money in the cash drawer for me to go to Nashville on.
No, no, you don't. No, sir. You ain't going to use no store money to go gallivanting around over the country looking for some woman you never have saw before.
Well, it's a fine how-do-do. A fine how-do-you-do, I must say. Me fixing to marry a woman worth $100 million, maybe, and you won't even let me take enough money out of the cash drawer to have the ceremony preformed.
Well, what if you get down to Nashville and don't like her, though, Lum?
I'm bound to like her with all that money. That is, we're needing money. I'd marry her if she looked like a hippopotamus.
And you'd marry her for her money?
No, sir. Not unless I was in love with her. But what could a woman with that much money do to make you not like her? That's what I want to know.
Now, Swan Lum, I don't know what's got into you. This just don't sound like you. You've had some bad ones, but I, doggies, I believe this is the craziest idea you've ever had yet.
You ain't judges because Elizabeth never had no money, are you?
Oh, for goodness sakes, no. Heidi's. I knowed her a long time before we got hitched, though.
Well, maybe this is a case of love at first sight. I don't know.
First sight? Well, you ain't even saw her.
Well, no, but I told her to send me a picture of herself.
Yeah.
I sort of got her pictured in my mind, figured out how she's going to look. I got to looking through some moving picture magazines yesterday and picked one out I think she looks like.
Magazine?
No, a picture of somebody in there.
Oh.
Just a tuition with me, might say.
Oh, Swan, to goodness.
I went all these years without getting married. Why?
I don't know. Never had enough nerve to ask him, I reckon.
No, sir. I believe my unconscious mind has been telling me all along that the right woman ain't come along yet. So I must have been waiting for Florence.
Why, you never even heard of her till you seen that advertisement in the paper the other day.
Well, maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. Kind of beautiful, ain't it? You just stop and think about it. Here I went all these years being a bachelor, knowing that someday the right little woman would come along and I could claim as my bride.
Yeah. If her husband hadn't died, why, she'd never come along, neither.
Yeah, that's too bad he had to marry her. Fate had to come along and get him out of the way just to bring me and her together. Tough luck for him.
Well, I've stood just about all this I can. I'm going on over to the tourist camp, sweep them cars out, and wash the windows.
Oh, sit down, sit down. I want to talk to you some more.
Yeah, well, yonder comes Squire's camp. Talk to him. I've got work to do. I can't sit around here and listen to you brag about how rich you are.
Whereabouts is Squire?
Coming up on the porch, eh?
Oh, good. He's taking long enough to get over here. Come in, Squire.
Well, howdy, Squire.
Come on back.
Yes, yes, thank you, Lum. Mrs. Kemp told me that you called over the place for me a while ago, Lum.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you, Squire. Thought you was going over to the tourist camp, Abner.
Well, now, if you're going to make any deals with Squire here, I want to find out what they're... Half of this store belongs to me.
This ain't got nothing to do with the store.
Yeah, well, I'll just sit around for a while anyway.
Sit? I don't care.
Yes, well, what was it, Lum? What do you want?
It ain't nothing secret. You're in the real estate business, Squire. Have you got any piece of property around here that a fella could build a big home on?
Why, yes, yes, I should have something like this, Lum. How many acres do they want?
Oh, I don't know. A whole lot, though.
Yes, well, now I've got that 40 acres old man Ludlow had over there on the big road.
No, well, that wouldn't be near big enough. I'm talking about hundreds of acres, 1,000 or 1,000.
Well, that's different. Let's see now. How about the old Blackwell property over there? It's about 460 acres in that, Lum. And close to town, too.
I believe that's just a property I never thought about. They'd build a big southern plantation there with all kinds of servants' houses and flower gardens and waterfalls and all such things.
Why, yes. Who's looking for the property, Lum?
Me, Granny.
Oh, for goodness sakes, did you call me all the way over here to talk a bunch of nonsense like that, Rome? Why, you couldn't buy enough wire to fence in the front part of that place.
Just wait a few days and see. Just for that, I won't even buy it from you.
Aunt Lom's going to get married, Squire.
Get married?
Yeah, marrying a millionaire woman. He thinks.
Well, if I didn't feel pretty sure about it, I wouldn't be going around looking at property and studying the market reports, would I? An old Kentucky colonel on a plantation. Arkansas colonel. Are you going to get me a big hat and chin
right there
and carry a walking
stick? Yeah, what's your race, Cedric?
Well, I didn't know about this, Lom.
Here's a telegram, Mr. Lom.
Telegram?
Man,
he's in it here. Might be from Florence accepting me.
What do you mean all about, Abner? Is he going to get that much money?
I don't know. I think he's lost his reading, Squire.
He's listening to this, fellas. I told you I was going to get married. Says, I received your telegram day before yesterday and thought it was very nice.
Well?
Oh, your letter. I received your letter day before yesterday and thought it was very nice. I will be there Monday to see you in person. Love, Florence.
Well, I'll be dead blamed.
Well, maybe Lum isn't having pipe dreams after all. While there may be such a thing as getting too much sleep, I rather think that most folks are in more danger of getting too little. For isn't it true that often, after you go to bed at night, you just can't get to sleep? That something keeps you awake, tossing and turning? Well, maybe that something is coffee nerves. Well, there's no doubt, in spite of the many people who can drink coffee without losing sleep, that many others just can't. So think it over. And if you suspect coffee keeps you awake, switch to Postum. For Postum contains not one speck of caffeine or stimulant of any kind. And once you've been cheered by Postum's fragrant, heartening aroma, mellow, full-bodied flavor, you'll wish you'd treated yourself to Postum long ago. So if coffee robs you of sleep, drink Postum instead. See if the change doesn't help, even in a few days. And after a fair trial, say for 2 weeks, see if the sleep you get doesn't make you mighty glad you switched to Postum. Next Monday evening at this same time when we again visit Pine Ridge with Lum and Abner, who say, money may not buy happiness, but it certainly will pay car fare while you go looking for it. Lou Crosby speaking. And remember, Postum, your best bet for a good night. Columbia Broadcasting System.